Welcome to Freed on Business. He grew up in South Florida, has been in business here since the early 90s, and has closed over $1 billion in deals. He's seen it all. He always has an opinion, and he's always ready to share it. Informed, entertaining, and connected, he has his finger on the pulse of South Florida's business community. He's Jim Freed, and this is Freed on Business.
All right. So we're on today. We're on, going to be live today with Casey Conway. And what is the coronavirus impact on commercial real estate with Casey Conway? Casey, welcome back to the show.
Great to be back with you. Unfortunately, it's not the same circumstances when we last talked in Miami and everything was go, go, go.
Well, it's certainly different now, Casey.
Yeah, just so's like the weather. If you hang around long enough, it'll change. And we just have to figure out how to get through what Mother Nature or economic nature now is thrown at us, right?
It is unbelievable, all the things that are going on. But so tell me a little bit, Casey, you've been talking to a whole bunch of people about what's been going on. You're an expert in supply chain. Tell me, what can we expect from commercial real estate? I'm already speaking to people about opportunities that involve hard money lending and all kinds of other things. What are you seeing out there right now?
So a couple or three things. So I would say a few days ago, I was getting very encouraged. We were hearing that things may be peaking in China, that people are coming back to work at the factories and their supply chain. Ships are being loaded and put back to sea. MSC sent the biggest ship that they have in the world to go pick up all the empty containers clogging up LA Long Beach port. So that was good. We're clearing the deck out. We're getting ready to see some ships come in. There was fresh new intel from China that inventories were to the roof because the virus broke out during their Chinese New Year. So they don't have to manufacture. They got stuff ready to go. So I was very encouraged. This thing could be turning around on a supply chain very quickly. And then what did we learn this morning? So we learned this morning that Amazon says, you know what? We're changing the game plan here, folks. We're only going to allow shipments to come into our warehouses that contain inventories of critically needed things like medicines and pharmaceuticals and masks and everything else. Hold your powder, and we're gonna empty the warehouses and deliver only the stuff that's needed in stay in place markets like New York or New Jersey or Washington or California. And so here's my concern: what are we doing to our supply chain? How do retailers that were thinking, well, maybe I didn't do a lot of online, but maybe I figured out real quick, and although people aren't coming to my store, I figure out how to do, you know, Uber Eats delivery or, you know, dry cleaning pickup and whatnot and order online. Those people really are kind of toast right now with Amazon said. So they're literally a couple of weeks away from whatever's in the warehouses being depleted and only being replaced with, you know, the critical needs. So I'm a little concerned about what's going on with our supply chain. And here's where we're seeing some of it play out. So I listened to a great call yesterday, a webinar that Green Street Advisors opened up and did. And they had, you know, some really good people in the REIT world and supply chain world talking. And Green Street was talking about what they're seeing on commercial real estate values. And what they told us is we can't prove it, but our gut is we're in recession. We can't prove it, but our gut is commercial real estate values are probably down 20 to 25% already, and they could go worse from that. The data will play out over time. And then they were saying, you know, we're not worried about warehouses. We're not worried about multifamily. But then as I kind of dig in and look at what's going on in what I call everybody should be doing the what if analyses, don't sit back and hope and pray. Also do what if. It's probably the other, if I got to write one of the Gospels of the Bible, that would be the Casey one, the what if ones, you know, instead of Proverbs, it would be the what ifs. And sit back and ask yourself things like this. If I'm a property owner, let's say I own a retail center and it's not anchored by anybody, but it's near an anchored deal. And I've got a dry cleaner, I got a florist, I got an UPS, and I've got some restaurants in there. How are they doing? Are you talking to your tenants? Are you seeing what's happened? So I'm doing that. So I went to my neighborhood center and my dry cleaner's in total panic mode. You know, they work, they get in at 6 a.m. They work till 7 o'clock at night. They have kids. They have no time to watch the news. And she says, where is everybody? Is it spring break? Why is nobody bringing clothes to be cleaned? So I explained to her what's going on, and she says, oh my God, we can't survive 2, 3, 4 more weeks of this. We'll be out of business. And then I go next door, and there's a UPS store. The UPS guy goes, man, we're having, an early tax filing holiday because everybody's in here sending me packages. And I said, where are they going? They're not all going to the IRS, are they? And he starts looking at him. He goes, no, they're going to ABC Senior Center, ABC Assisted Living Center. And he goes, you know what? It looks like everybody's sending packages to grandma and grandpa because they can't go visit them. So he's busier than a bee in the spring. And then the florist is at the other end of the center. I go down and I see the florist, and she's like, man, this is better than Mother's Day. Everybody's in here sending stuff to grandma, grandpa, senior citizens, and aunts and uncles. This is great. So they can't go visit them, so they're sending flowers. Then I go talk to the two restaurants. There's nobody in there. They're ready to lay people off. And so here's my question. If I'm a property owner and I'm looking at that, and I'm talking to my tenants, I know I probably got 40 to 60%. They're only going to make it if they get a rent abatement. So can I do that? What's it going to do to my debt service coverage? If I give 60% of my tenants a rent abatement for 60 to 90 days so I don't lose them and have an empty center that gets foreclosed on, can I make my debt service, or will the bank work with me? Can they do something? Can they give me a line of credit to pay the debt service? And the problem is these what-if scenarios, nobody's doing them. So they don't have the answers and they're not armed with the material to go, you know, then lay out, all right, here's what my tenants need. Banker, here's what I need. Here's how we keep the economy going. So the Fed thought it was just lowering rates to 0%, buying a bunch of treasury bonds, get the treasury rate back up there, and all will be good. And I reminded them in a briefing I did on February 25th, don't cut rates. That's not going to solve anything. You're going to need what I called a coronavirus intervention facility. I called it a CIF. And that's kind of what they started to do this week with this corporate paper facility. They realized the banks need a way to help these companies and industries, you know, get this, you know, delinquent or about to be delinquent paper off their balance sheet, put it at the Fed, put it at their discount window. But here's the problem. It can only be the highest quality stuff. So it doesn't help the small business guy. So the small business guy is trying to figure out, is there something that Trump's done in the SBA stuff? And there's all these acronyms and facilities and things that they're doing that they don't understand. And they're figuring out, how in the world do I survive? And also, if my kid's on 9 hours or 8 hours of home online learning because all the schools are closed and all my kids are at home. So people are really stressed. And so that's why I'm saying focus every evening before you go to bed or when you get up on what if XYZ, what if Amazon does what it did today? What if I talk to my banker? What if I talk to my tenants and found out what their stress is and how they can survive? That's what we need to be doing and going toward right now. I don't think a $1,000 check to every American is going to solve anything. But if we can do things like what I think corporate America is doing in a big way, where they're isolating in place or telling employees, you know, don't come in, we'll pay you, you know, for 2 to 4 weeks or give you extended leave. Corporate America is stepping up. But I think our government is still, you know, the people like the Fed are still fumbling around. And I'm worried about that. We don't have time to fumble around. So I'll stop there.
Well, Casey, then what should we do? Because the reality is that something needs to be done. Values in real estate are falling. Small businesses don't have that kind of a lifeline. $2,000 per household isn't really going to help a lot. And the small business people are going to need to go and get immediate help. What if they can't get the rent abatement? What if they, you know, what do they do?
So don't be naive. Don't sit in isolation at the River Denial in Egypt. You know, start understanding these things. So I'll give you a couple of them. So you keep hearing analysis after analysis by, you know, say the realtors or housing association, multifamily is going to be great. No effect to multifamily. And while that may be true for most workforce multifamily, where, you know, a lot of the hardworking lower and middle income people have to live, it's not going to be true for student housing. Guess what I learned with both of my daughters being sent home from university the last week? So when the university makes a broad pronouncement that they're closing and everybody's got to leave, there are triggers in most student housing leases that are analogous to kind of act of God or police power features. So if the government does this or the university does it, they're acting in an authority. It's one of those powers of, you know, that limit real estate. what they do is they trigger these clauses, and landlords don't realize it, and multifamily owners of student housing don't realize all of their students that are being sent home may now have an option to get out of their lease until next fall. So both my daughters, they lost their jobs. The small business said, we can't survive with the university closed. It doesn't even bother to wait till spring break. They're not coming back. They're not going to have commencement exercises. We were dependent on that revenue. And now all the students are gone. So I had my daughters bring home their leases. We go through the leases, and there's provisions that allow us to get out because the university's made this big pronouncement. Or if a city or a state makes a stay-at-home mandate for the Small Business Administration, one of the features is even if you don't have business interruption insurance, what the president's done with SBA and doing this stuff, it triggers the availability of business interruption insurance or funds. Even if you didn't have a specific policy, you can go to SBA and you can get some help. So this is a time where we're all going to learn a lot about all these programs and these funding things. And I think what the president's trying to do is as he looks around and sees, look, there's a $60 billion fund here, a $40 billion fund here, and it's not being used. And if I do a declaration, you know, like close things down or, that triggers business interruption, I unleash that money so that it can go to these folks. But if you don't know about it, if you're not doing what-if analysis, if you're not doing strategic thinking, if you're not reaching out and talking to professionals that can help you, a lot of these are, you know, could be your accountants. It could be, you know, like a CCIM or someone at IREM that does property management. These folks know that stuff. And I would encourage you to be interacting and talking to as many people as you can. I'm doing as much as 20 calls a day to whether it's CEOs, government leaders, SBA, bankers, borrowers, about what is going on at Ground Zero, what they need, what's happening, what something means. And I'm trying to share it in my kind of LinkedIn post as, you know, here's something that's happening and here's what you need to know. Let me give you one other example. The National Association of Home Builders released their home builders mortgage in or market index, HMI, yesterday. And it showed, my gosh, it's still almost in record territory at 72. But I compliment NHAB's chief economist. He said, time out. That's going to fall. And it fell a little bit from January. It's going to fall a lot. Here's what you need to know. The people that we surveyed, the builders we surveyed before February 28th, had a totally different optimistic outlook than those that responded after February 28th to the March 6th cutoff date. And what each of them said was something that people aren't focusing on is home builders were having and are continuing to have supply chain disruptions. Most Americans don't realize that most of your faux bathrooms that come into, you know, under $500,000 homes today all come from China, and they can't get this stuff. So builders are going to find that in construction loans, what kind of disruption do they have? Does it cause a disruption where they can't deliver inventories when they're needed or before their construction loan comes due? And are they going to need a credit intervention to extend that or deal with the supply chain interruption? I thought it was incredibly insightful information in the backdrop of, hey, it's just another great number. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it yet. So that's another example.
So, Casey, we've got a lot of people there. They're afraid. There's a lot of uncertainty. You say that the government's doing stuff that's politically looks good, but may not be totally effective. So it sounds like what we really need to do is just go slow and try to be cautious.
No, I probably disagree, push back on a little bit. So here's the advice. I've given two phrases. So, you know, I'm one of those kids that loved kindergarten and I hated when we went up to grade school because things got complex and pictures went away. I like pictures. I like simple. So the two phrases I've been using is everybody needs to adopt a look up and forward attitude. If you're not looking up, if you're looking down and you're depressed and you're not doing anything, you have no chance of discovering the light at the end of the tunnel. And so look up, don't curl back up and hide and just hope it's all going to work out. It's not. You got to look up. And every day you got to do actions that move yourself forward. And that could be talking to your tenants. It could be talking to your banker. You've just got to get off the couch and use social media, use your internet email and your phone to do things that are looking forward. Look at, reassess your cash flows. Look at what your cash reserves are. All of those things, look at what you need to do to kind of make it through and weather. The second thing I say is after you do look up and forward, do what if every day. Every day we're finding something new hits. What if this thing doesn't end in May and it goes to July or August? What if Secretary Mnuchin made a real dramatic faux pas last night or this morning where he said, if half of the small businesses, those with less than 500 employees, fail and Congress doesn't get the appropriate stimulus rescue to them, we could see 20% unemployment rate. So what does the media do? Secretary of Treasury says we're going to 20% unemployment rate. That's not what he said. You got to get the filters. You got to go read this stuff and understand. But you know what? What if it does go to 20%? How is your business? How is your career? How is your skill set positioned to survive or to do something? And are you talking to your employer and all these things? So look up and do things that move you forward. Ask the what if questions. Expect every day it's going to be worse. We're seeing the Dow down and the market down another 5%, another, 1,200 points. You know, we're down below 20,000 on the Dow. Nobody thought it would go below that. Does it go to 15? Does it go to 10? Don't even look, open your 401k statement. It's not, those things are going to do you no good. So, those are my recommendations. And then when people tell you that this is going to be okay and unscathed, or this is going to be a disaster, that's where opportunity is created. So don't generalize like multifamily is all going to be unscathed. I think student housing multifamily, especially in university towns, is really going to be impacted. On warehouses, everybody thinks everything's fine because they're on long-term leases and nothing's going to happen and the supply chain's going to be coming. But what happens if Amazon throws a curveball like they did today and mixes up what's going into the warehouses and what can be stored? Do Walmart and other consumer staples retailers follow suit that dominoes what's been going on in retail? On hotels, the business is dead. You can't even find a hotel room. Go to Orlando. I mean, there's nobody in the hotels. They've never, with 9/11, maybe they impacted a week or 2 weeks of that, but not months that we're looking at here, or New York. I'm going to New York next Wednesday for meetings, and there's no restaurants. I don't even know if I'm going to get an Uber driver or whatnot, but I'm going to get to ground zero. I'm going to get out there and see kind of what's going on. So don't be an ostrich. Don't bury your hand in the sand. Don't vacation or self-isolate at the River Denial in Egypt. There are things that are happening, and I'll give you one sign of hope. So I follow a lot of logistics and industrial and warehouse people. So I had confidentially an entity share with me a story the other day. So they've been competing, trying to buy some of these triple net lease credit tenant warehouses, and they've been finding hard to compete against the big Prologis and other entities. Well, they said, you know what suddenly happened? All those guys that were bidding these deals at 5 and below 5 cap rates suddenly disappeared. And the merchant developers a little panicked, and so they offered it to me at a 7 cap rate. There's opportunity. It's the same credit. It's going to be filled up. It's a modern asset. You just now picked up, buying an asset on a cap rate that we haven't seen for probably 5 or 7 years. I think the same is going to happen in hotels. We're going to see hotels, really good stuff, trading at half of replacement cost. So if you can find capital, touch base with equity investors, know what things should normalize at, there may be a lot of opportunities out there. It's just going to be a really bumpy ride. And I think this thing's going to take longer rather than shorter. And you know what? This isn't going to be, it isn't the first one, and it's not going to be the last one. And if you want to study a really good case study, forget looking at H1N1 in 2009 or looking at 2008 or 9/11. Go back and look at the polio health crisis. It started in New York in 1916, and it didn't fully end until Jonas Salk gave us the vaccination in 1955. And we had hundreds of thousands of kids a year being paralyzed. Can you imagine how we would have functioned in this world of social media in that kind of environment? So we're I'll leave with one kind of more thought for you, and I'll shut up here. So a great comment I put in a piece today was, this is the first time in modern American history that we're going to face challenges that may rival the bombing of Pearl Harbor, the Great Depression, 9/11, and oil patch, and everything else that's hit us, and we're going to do it without the benefit of the great generation being around. Think of what that great generation endured from, world wars, Great Depression, multiple recessions, energy disruption, incredible technology innovation. They smiled, they moved forward, they created great wealth. We've got to reflect, I think, on how did they do it? What did they do? Go back and find the journals. I've gone back and dug out all my dad's diaries and journals and business calendars from when he got out of the Army Air Corps in 1945, 46. And I've been reading those up through 1955. It's been very, very insightful. So look up and forward. Do every day, or before you go to bed every night, do a series of what if. What if in your personal family, your personal finances, your job, your career, and your business. And start getting yourself prepared and doing strategic thinking.
Wow, that's tremendous stuff. Thank you so much, Casey. We're going to have you on again real soon so we can hear what happened in New York. Really appreciate this.
I'm only talking to ground zero people that know what's going on. So whatever I share with you, this is stuff that I'm discovering firsthand. And the only way I'm doing it is I'm talking to real people. I'm getting out. And, poking around my own neighborhood. Observe what's going on in your own neighborhood. And this one last thought. Guess what's still going on? All those people that are hoarding bottled water at the grocery store. Our water systems in most of our cities have pure water than what you're going to buy in a bottled water. They're working. They don't require electricity. So even if the utilities go off, they're gravity or pressure driven. So you got water at home. If you can't find toilet paper at the grocery store, go to Home Depot or Lowe's. They have it. They also have bleach and sanitizer. So we can find supply chain elsewhere. Go to a small town about 30 to 50 miles outside of your major city. Almost every Dollar General discount store has all this stuff. So a lot of the supply chain we're panicking over is just in different places, and we just have to rediscover it. And remember this. The mail is being delivered. FedEx is operating. They delivered decent earnings yesterday. And said, but we're not giving up. We're going to continue to focus on cost containment. The trash is being picked up. The mail is coming. The grocery stores are being restocked. I did a post that showed me going to my Atlanta grocery store at Publix earlier this week when everybody said everything was gone. And there were only three things I couldn't buy: milk, eggs, and toilet paper. Everything else was fully stocked in the store. And by that evening, all of those three things were there. Don't panic. Don't buy 20 cartons of eggs. The grocers and the corporate America are really stepping up and doing a good job on restockpiling. And think about what you can use as alternative products. So if hand sanitizer is out, go buy some lemons, go buy some hydrogen peroxide, go buy some rubbing alcohol. You can make your own mixture to, pour on a napkin and wipe your hands with and be just as fine. So this is what our greatest generation discovered in the Great Depression. How they did things. This is why grandma and grandpa saved nails and mason jars. And my dad kept all tire casings in the attic. So if the house ever caught on fire, it would burn for probably 6 months. They understood you had to adaptively reuse or purpose or think out of the box. Do the what if. What if I can't buy X? What can I use as a substitute? So don't give up. Go back and read in history. And this is a time where we really come together, just like New Yorkers had to do in the 9/11 tower, and they didn't panic and have horrible behavior. And I equate this, in Atlanta, we get an occasional snow day, and it's like everything gets hoarded and nobody has enough food to survive 1 or 2 days with ice or snow in Atlanta. This is like a snow day in the South on a national or global level. And we can function, we can survive. And the more we do that and think about that way, I think we'll be fine. And you know what? We're all going to need commercial real estate when we come out of this stuff. And so don't give up on it.
Yeah. All I've been saying for the past couple of years is that there just needs an event where where there is a displacement and there'll be opportunities again. So here we go. Thank you so much.
Be careful about what you pray for. So remember, we've been praying for housing affordability. Sometimes God answers our prayers in different in ways we don't really appreciate. God just may have given us housing affordability out of this crisis. So, you know, be careful about what you're praying for. But we may see a lot of housing affordability result from this thing. So just keep thinking. Don't get down. Just keep, you know, asking the why questions. What if? And I think you'll find a lot of good answers to survive. And if not, I'm here, you're here. That's what we're trying to do, is help people with their needs and their problems. And ours happens to be real estate concentric, but the same principles and activities and behaviors apply across all industries.
Well, listen, all I could say is thank you so much for calling in and giving us that update. I, like you, am continuing to call everybody all day long. I'm not sitting at the river denial. And I am calling and asking people what they have, what they're working on, what problems they have, and seeing if there's something there that I can solve with things that I know. And I think that that's the best tip we can give to everybody, is keep in touch with your close contacts and see how you can move forward with them. Thank you so much, Casey Conway. And I'll be touching base with you in the next day or two to set up your next appearance here, as we keep getting the good information out to people and tamping down hitting the brakes on panic and focusing on common sense and reality.
Well, I appreciate that. And you're my favorite Florida problem solver. So I'm listening all the time. You're a great problem solver that helps us in Florida.
Thank you so much. I look forward to doing that. Casey Conway. We'll be back right after the break with Becca Carlson. We're going to be talking about getting your message out in today's circumstance, with everybody's channels being all confused. Again, thanks so much to Casey Conway. And Casey, got to say to my friend from Alabama, keep on rolling.